Hearts, please be seated. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We live in a world, at a time in our world that people call the information age. Computers, right? All kinds of technology out there that'll allow us to find any kind of information you can imagine. If you want to know something, all you have to do is Google. That's right. Google. Got to Google, right? Now, the greatest event that has ever occurred that benefits mankind is, and if we had a Google that was told the truth, what would that event be? Resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to look into God's Word and see how important the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, really is and how it can apply to our lives. In Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power." This is quite a prayer. What a request here, right? Your eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you would know the hope of his calling. Man, oh man, the glory of his inheritance. All these great things, verse 20, which he wrought. Okay, all these great, wonderful, dynamic things which he wrought in who? Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So, boy, the resurrection is so dynamic, so valuable to mankind. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We looked at this verse last week in light of our communion service, and I trust that was a blessing for everybody. I think that was just one of the highlights this year so far, that we could get together and recognize and remember the significance of our Lord and Savior, his broken body and shed blood. I mean, before God raised him from the dead, he had to die. He had to pay the price. A gruesome price. He died. He shed his innocent blood for us, and so that God could raise him in 3 days and three nights. Wow. So here in Philippians 3:10, we see that I may know him and the power of what? His resurrection. That's why we're looking at God's Word. So you could know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. So two parts here. Two parts. He had to die. He had to shed his innocent blood. He was in the earth 3 days and three nights. But that 71 hours, 59 minutes and 59 seconds. Can you imagine? God Almighty, our Father, knew what was happening, but he had to wait 3 days and three nights, right? I'll say this. God must have been very anxious, but he's not anxious. You know, he... But man, oh man, that great second, that last moment. All right, here you come, son. Bang! Out of the grave he arose. And because of that, there's a power there that really very significant for mankind. If it wasn't for the resurrection, you and I wouldn't be here. We're going to go. Let's do this. We're going to do this. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at, without the resurrection, what would happen, and because of the resurrection. And you know what? I'm going to give you some notes to help you along the way here. You don't have to write as much. Some of you maybe can pass these around here. Okay. Springley, you want to help me out here? So here are some notes for you. Of all of God's power that has ever been exhibited, nothing quite matches God raising His Son from the dead. The one critical act of the resurrection is something we can be extremely thankful for. As a result of God raising His Son from the dead, the new birth realities that first came on the day of Pentecost were made available. And without Him being raised from the dead, we would be missing a lot of a lot of blessings we have today. With it, God has poured out tremendous realities and abilities. And as we look at both aspects here of the resurrection, we can enjoy its realities with thankfulness to our Heavenly Father. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. Actually, let's start at verse 12. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is what? Vain. Vain is empty. Nothing to it. It has no meaning, no significance. It won't work. So if Christ is not risen, your believing is empty. It's vain. And verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your believing is vain. You are yet what? You're still in your sins. Do you see how important the resurrection of our Lord and Savior is? Wow, it's a big deal. Let's go to verse 18 here. Verse 18 says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So those who have fallen asleep, they're dead in Christ, they're perished. Why? Because Christ didn't get raised from the dead, so you and I are not going to be raised from the dead if we're dead, okay? So those who have fallen asleep, it's crucial that the resurrection would have occurred, else we would not, we'd still be in that perishing state. Our life would be miserable because we would not have hope. This is another element. Without the resurrection, our life would be most miserable. Verse 19, and if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That's in light of there's no resurrection. Okay? Jesus Christ would not reign and destroy death as well as put His enemies under Him. 1 Corinthians 15, 25. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So, boy, these are things that wouldn't happen unless the resurrection did occur. Now, what about because of the resurrections? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If there's one verse in the Bible that you can share with somebody about getting born again, saved, you know, coming before God and becoming His son, His child, this is one great verse. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believing in the resurrection is crucial to the new birth. So we want to believe in the resurrection, and thankfully it happened. We can believe it. We can make Jesus Lord in our life. We can get born again of God's Spirit from death unto life, eternal life. We have justification. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. You're already there. Go to chapter 4. We have justification, meaning we have the status as if we have no sins before God Almighty. 424. 424. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Okay, we're justified. It's like being able to stand before your parents. You know, you're a child. We got some children in here today. And they do everything right, they were told. And they just can come up before mommy and daddy and ask anything, and mommy and daddy's going to give it to them. But you know what? If they broke the lamp in the back bedroom there and nobody knew about it, but they knew about it because they broke it, how do you think they would feel going up to mommy and daddy and trying to ask for something, huh? They feel kind of guilty, right? Especially if mom and dad found out about it. They'd really, consequences happen then, huh? So, but you know what? This is justification, just as if we didn't sin. That's pretty amazing, because we're not perfect, are we? I mean, we sin, we break fellowship. But right here it says we are justified before God. We can go before God Almighty and be before Him as if we have not sinned. That's a tough one to believe, but you know what? God's Word says it, we can believe it. And with that type of mindset, what about answering prayers? Do you think God's going to answer your prayer if you know that you are justified before Him? If you have consciousness of sin, it's a little different, isn't it? You feel guilty, so you don't think I deserve anything from God. But that's not the case here. God wanted to get rid of this sin issue once and for all, and He did it through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see how big it is? How great and wonderful this is? What Jesus Christ did for us? And God raised Him for our justification. Pretty neat. Pretty neat. Well, let's follow through here. Chapter 5. I don't think they should have put a chapter here. The first word there is therefore. And of course, this tells us therefore as a result of what happened in the previous verse, which was raised for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace with God, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Here it is. We have that access. We are at peace with God. These are realities that you and I can put in our minds and believe and have a great joy in our hearts. Wow. We have been born again unto a living hope. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We've been born again unto a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a what? A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See how important the resurrection is? Man, oh man, because God raised Him from the dead, we have access to God. We have this being born again unto a live hope, a living hope. Pretty amazing. Verse 4, to an inheritance, continuing on here, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved where? Better than any bank you could find on earth. Reserved in heaven for you. You and I have the hope of Christ's return. He's coming back. He is coming back to gather you and I together. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive and remain shall be gathered up into the clouds. What a wonderful hope. You know, when you die, you fall asleep. It says in the Bible, it's figure of speech, you fall asleep. How much time is there when you're sleeping? There's no time. And when you fall asleep, next thing you know, it's not like you're sleeping and, you know, hours and hours go by and you're thinking, I don't know. No, you don't. There's no sense of time there, is there? It's like that. You see how wonderful God designed life, and then for our redemption, and then for eternal life? Just amazing, I tell you. Just phenomenal how God did this. Well, let's go to Romans here. Romans. We'll probably close here in Romans. Well, we got one more in Matthew, but let's go to Romans chapter 8. The hope of Christ's return we have as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, all right, that Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, we got born again of God's Spirit. We have that Spirit of God in us, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. Word quicken, Old English means what? Make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You have that perfect Spirit. So when that time comes, this old mortal body of ours is going to get a whole new spiritual body. And that's a result of the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead that dwells in us. Isn't that fantastic? Man, oh man. I wish, you know, when you Google the greatest event in life, it would be the resurrection. And all the great realities that go with it, we would maybe have my notes here or something. I don't know. But it would have God's Word with these truths and realities, because this means more than any other words that any man ever written, right? This is God's Word. Boy, once we get a hold of the reality of this, life is a joy. Life is fulfillment, because we know what's going to happen. We really do. And it's so wonderful. And it all is because that God raised His Son from the dead. This great focal point in all history is God raising Jesus from the dead. It provided for mankind the new birth realities, which gives man full and complete access to the Heavenly Father. All that was lost by Adam in the fall of man was regained with much more by the perfect work of Jesus Christ and God raising Him from the dead. The legal price has been paid, and now God has children with His Spirit within to love and to be loved by them. May we love God and really love Him because of what He sacrificed to provide for you and me eternal life and eternal peace with Him. Let's praise Him and love Him as long as we have breath. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 150, verse 6. Well, to close out, I have a special song as well that I'd like for you to enjoy and listen to. And the words are on the back of this poem. This is a gift we wanted to give to you today, this poem, wonderful poem. And then on the back is the words to this particular song. But I want you to go to Matthew, if you would. And I tell you what, I'm so blessed with our children. We had children with us today. We didn't have children's fellowship, and they sure were wonderful today. So good job, parents, and way to go, children. I know it's a challenge. Bless your hearts. All right, 28, Matthew 28. You know, I mentioned about how God, that last second, you know, he was just waiting for that last second. And this resurrection, the first human being that saw and witnessed the resurrection was Mary Magdalene, a wonderful lady, part of the fellowship, and she was the first one to see the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's Matthew 28, verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. You know, later on, she saw that. But here, the angel made the announcement that he is risen. The greatest announcement ever made, that he is risen. So I want you to listen to this song and enjoy. Go ahead.
He was laid in the tomb. They put soldiers round about. No one could get to him. He certainly wouldn't come out. 3 days and three nights in the earth he lay, until late in the afternoon the angel came and rolled the stone away. Early in the morning Mary came to the tomb. Something was wrong. The stone was gone. There was only the empty room. But he was standing right behind her, watching her as she cried, waiting to share his joy with her, the joy he had inside. Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? She supposed he was the gardener, so turning to him she implored, Tell me, where have you laid him? I'll come and take him away. She could hardly believe it when she heard him say, He's alive. He's alive, he's alive. The joy jumped in her soul. The dead man she came there searching for, standing the beginning of the story that never ends.
Heavenly Father, we're very grateful and thankful that we can go to your word and see the great realities that we have as a result of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray we may live the fullness of what you've made available because of that. That we do have your wonderful Spirit within, that we have eternal life, we have peace with you, we have access with you, we are justified before you, Father. Not what we did, but what you did through your Son. And Father, if you wanted this so bad, I'm thankful that we can want it too, bad enough to believe it and come before you with joy in our hearts, with thankfulness in our hearts. And Father, I pray that we can live this wonderful reality day in and day out, that we can share it with other people so they too can see what life is really like with you. So we love you, Heavenly Father. We thank you and thank you and thank you for doing this for us. And we just look forward to the days ahead as we anticipate Christ's return, that we can live for you and be our best for you. So I thank you, Father, and pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Thanks, brother.